as we were praying just, you know, for this gathering, but also praying behind the scenes before we had tonight's meeting, I kept on seeing keys. And so when God shows me things in the Spirit and I keep on seeing things, I really believe that there was a word that God spoke to my heart for you as a church. And as God was releasing these keys and I saw the keys coming in the hands of different individuals, I kept on seeing almost a wall of resistance over you as a church. Now, and I kept on, you know, feeling that it was not because of you. Are you with me? I believe there is an assignment of the enemy to stop you from what you're doing because the enemy doesn't want you to go into the next level so that you can possess the promised land. And every single time in the scripture we see when God anoints an individual like David or anoints a nation, the enemy is right there to attack. That's why the Bible says that we are constantly in a warfare. Are you with me? So it's not going to be easy, right? But I kept on seeing that it's almost like you as a church has for years almost come to the place of breakthrough. And it's almost like these amazing opportunities. And I heard some of them that were just spoken to me by pastor. But I want to tell you that I kept on seeing that it's almost like this wall of resistance, like the walls of Jericho, that you are not breaking through into new dimensions that God has for you. And I believe that you've been praying a lot for this family. And I kept on seeing that it's almost been a burden upon your heart. And you've been carrying this house, you've been carrying this family. And I kept on seeing specifically for you, there have been a lot of disappointments. Because there's a lot of promises and prophetic words that God has spoken over your family, over this church family for years. But it's almost like you're saying, God, I heard about it. I know you spoke it. I believe it. But where is my mountain? And I believe that there's a mountain-sized promise and inheritance that God has for you as a church. Amen. It's almost like Caleb when he came to Joshua and he said, I heard about it, but I'm in the same strait I was 45 some years ago. Now give me my mountain. And so I believe that you as a church, you're saying, God, either we're going to walk into a promised land or we don't even know what you have spoken. So I see that it's almost a frustration and a confusion that at times have tried to attack you as a family. Are you with me? Can I speak into this thing?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I believe that it is not because of you, but it's an assignment from the enemy to keep you from the assignment that God has for you. But I kept on hearing that the Spirit of God is going to empower you. And I saw the word of God coming as a hammer and smashing the walls of resistance and Jericho. And I saw you breaking from one dimension into the next place. Because you're going to have the spirit of the breaker anointing upon your life so that you can break through in order so that you can break into the next dimension. But it's not going to happen by might. It's not going to happen to your own strategy, through your own strength. It has to be done by the Spirit of the living God. So that when people see what God has done, when He's building the temple Himself and has given you this inheritance, the land for you to possess for you as a family and as a church, all they can say is grace, 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 and grace. So sometime God allows us to do everything we can do in the natural so that we can come in the end of ourselves.
Amen.
And so I've seen in the Spirit that there's a lot of visions and strategies that you have tried. It's not that you are not fruitful. It doesn't mean that you have not had impact, but I believe there's an assignment from the enemy to stop you from the true impact that God desires you to have. I kept on seeing seven pillars, and I only heard the Spirit of God say that you have only filled two pillars, but there's not a five pillars left. So if you are setting down, and if you are slowing down, and if you are backing down, you're selling yourself short for the promise that God has for you. Can I hear an amen tonight?
Amen.
Come on, am I preaching or am I
yes,
just
amen.
Thank you.
So you need to understand that God has so much more for you because the unique flavor, the diversity, the inheritance, you are a hospital to the needy, but you got to understand that I see that you need a wind of refreshment. It's more than this weekend. I know your desire was to really receive something from the Lord. But I kept on hearing the Spirit of grace say, it's not going to stop with this weekend. It's going to start with this weekend.
Amen.
Because there is so much more that I have stored for you as a family. And I just felt for you that God wants to say to you, my daughter, I want to refresh you.
Jesus.
And I kept on seeing that you're coming out of the season of being a Martha and you're coming to the season of being a Mary. It's not that Martha is bad, but you've been doing so much and caring so much as a woman of God and as somebody who's been in a ministry that it's almost that expectation that be laid on your shoulders. Sometime God have said, those things has never been of me. And so God is really redefining so many things in your life so that now in this time you can really be able to walk in the rest of God, the peace of God, so that you can really fulfill the ministry that God has for you as a church, as an individual, and as a family. Are you with me?
Amen.
And let me tell you something. One of the things that we lack in the church is that we don't lift up our leaders.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
When things go bad, leaders get the blame. Listen, they have not complained to me. They have spoken good about you. Are they looking for my encouragement? See, they are not looking for my encouragement. They're looking for your encouragement. Are you with me? Because leadership is not an easy place. You know, when I became a leader, I thought, you know, it's going to be chocolate and flour. Now, that was a big mistake. I saw a sign, you know, like a post on Facebook, and it said, you know, if you want to be loved and accepted, don't be a leader. Go sell ice cream. Because leadership is a hard place. Are you with me? But it doesn't have to be hard. See, what you see in the life of Joshua and Moses in Exodus chapter 17, verse 9, when actually Joshua is mentioned for the first time, you have to understand that Moses gave instruction to Joshua and said to Joshua, I want you to go down to the valley and fight the Amalekites. Now you got to understand that while Joshua, who was called as the new generation, which was by the way not a surviving generation, Moses' generation was a surviving generation, but Joshua's generation was a conquering generation. Because Moses' generation had Egypt behind them and wilderness before them. But the Joshua generation had wilderness behind them and the promised land before them. See, but you got to understand that in Exodus 17, Moses was upon the mountain. Joshua was fighting in the valley. And the Bible says that as long as Moses, come on guys, arm was lifted high, Joshua was able to fight the Amalekites. But when his hands, his arms grew weary, the Bible says that Joshua was being defeated down in the valley. You know, I really read that text and I thought about one thing. I said, we younger people, sometimes we're fighting the battles and we think, oh, you older people, we don't even know what you're talking about. And we think that we're winning all the stuff by ourselves. But I'm wondering if the older generation start pouring their wisdom, their insight, their counsel and intercession for us, I wonder how many battles we will actually win. So what God is doing in these last days is that He's turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And He's turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children. So I want you to understand that if you have breath in your lungs, you're part of this generation. Amen. Everybody say, I am part
of
this generation.
This generation.
All of us have a role to play, but you have to lift up the hands of your leaders. You have to. I'm not saying that you are not doing that. I'm just saying that you have to do it even more. Send them gifts, man. Shower them. Send them a text. You know, it's amazing that sometimes as leaders, you know, we always encourage everybody. But then when we come home, who is encouraging us? Are you with me? So make sure that you always tell them, we love you guys. We know you mess up. All leaders mess up. But we appreciate you and thank you. Because when you walk in a culture of honor, God's going to honor you.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So I want to talk this evening about Joshua possessing the promised land. And I want to show you from scripture why Joshua could possess the promised land. Because I believe that God has something for you as a church. Because you are at a transition as a church. I don't know if that's the truth, but that's what I sense. There is a lot of things that are shifting and changing for you as a church. And I believe that you're going from one season to the next season. And I really believe with all of my heart that God has much more in store for you. And you have to be prepared for the next season. Because if you are not prepared for the next season, you cannot really contain and maintain and sustain what God wants to do. See, when God is speaking about the new wine, He's not just talking about wine, He's talking about wineskin. How many of you know that the wine's not going to change? Everybody say, God
is
never going to change.
He's never going to change.
God said, I am a God that changeth not. Are you with me? He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So if God doesn't change, guess who got to change? Everybody say, we are.
We are.
That's a revelation right there. Make sure to take notes. Amen. We're supposed to change. And so in this season, it's very important when I was looking at you guys, and I'm saying this with fear and trembling and humbleness, and you can test. See, prophetic words, I always say, eat the fish and spit the bones, and you got to know what God is saying when He kind of reaffirms, it confirms what God has already spoken to you. That's the New Testament word of prophecy. Are you with me? But I feel that God is really redefining. It's not that He's redefining your vision, but I believe that there's almost a clarity of vision that is coming because you have an understanding where God has taken you, but I really saw that there's scales that are falling from the faces and the eyes of the people in the church. So there is not just one people or a corporate people, but it's a whole army that's walking together. Are you with me? Because a whole generation in the wilderness died.
That's right.
Because they could not see what Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb saw. They saw the giants of the land. They didn't see the opportunity, but they always saw what they thought was the reality, which was the challenges of life. Are you with me?
Amen.
And so in Joshua, the first time we see him in the scriptures is that Joshua was a man of war. Joshua was not afraid. Joshua was not afraid of going to the battlefield. And it's so amazing that when you look at Joshua and Caleb in the scriptures, you will see that they were numbered among the 12 tribes, or let me say the 12 spies, which Moses picked out from the 12 tribes of Israel. And you find this in Numbers chapter 13, verse 16. And we all know the story. I'm just laying some foundation for where I'm going. We all know the stories that God commanded Moses, and Moses, you know, take each a tribe from every, you know, spy from every tribe and send them into the promised land. And when they came back, 10 of them had bad report. Everybody say bad report.
Bad report.
Two of them had good report. Everybody say good report.
Good report.
I want to tell you, take heed of what you hear.
That's right.
Because some people around you, even good people, in the good intention, they will try to get you out of the perfect will of God. So they came back and they were complaining and saying of the giants of the land. They saw the walls. They saw the restrictions. They saw the opposition. They saw the multitudes. And then they make a statement and they said that when we walked in, they were numerous. And they said that we were like grasshoppers in the sights. And the Bible says, and like grasshoppers, so they were. Which means that the 10 spies, which God allowed to die, had a mentality that was not full of faith. Mm-hmm. And for you as a church to walk into the next season, I want to tell you that faith is the very currency of what you need. Are you with me? Now let me tell you, faith doesn't come from a denomination. It comes from the Bible. I'm not talking about the word of faith. I'm talking about the word of faith that we preach. See, we cannot please God apart from
faith.
Talk to me, guys.
Faith.
The Bible said we walk by
faith
and not by
sight.
The just shall live by
faith.
We are saved through grace by faith. So faith should be the essence of a Christian life. Now, how do we get faith? Come on, Romans 10. Romans 10, 9. Faith cometh by, come on, talk to me.
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
The word of God.
So that means that if you want to be a man and woman of faith in the church of faith, you have to stop listening to the complainers and to the naggers and to the toasts who are always walking in the opposite of what God is saying. This didn't come from people from outside. The complaints came from inside of the camp.
Amen.
I want to prophetically speak into this thing because I really believe that you're about to possess the land and it's important for you to get ready as a church. Because God is not going to release the inheritance that He has for you as a church until there's a realignment. And that's what I see coming to you. See, you're in a good place. I want to tell you that. Because God is shifting things and there's a realignment taking place. See, sometimes God turns things that needs to be turned upside down in your life and in your church. And then God prunes it. And you might be left for few in numbers. But let me tell you, David didn't have a lot of people.
That's right.
He only had 300. And no insult to you guys, but the truth is that there were a bunch of misfits in the Bible. See, God doesn't need your perfection. I want to be honest with you. The Bible says that when they came around the anointing of David, God turned those misfits into the mighty men of David. What about us coming around the anointing of Jesus Christ? Can God turn a drug addict into a minister? Can God turn somebody who is hopeless, filled with dyslexia, somebody who can stand and preach the gospel? See, God can do whatever He wants to, but He's looking for availability in this hour. Are we available to God? And Joshua and Caleb came back, and they said, forget about the giants of the land. God has spoken. He wants to give us the promised land. And Caleb and Joshua was known as men of another spirit. Everybody say another spirit.
Another spirit.
See, we want to be known in this last day as man and woman of another spirit. And the next time we see Joshua was not just fighting the Amalekites. He was not just part of the 12 spies. We actually see him being in the presence of Jesus. Being in the presence of Jesus. And this is what I believe was the key to the mentality that Joshua had. This is the reason I believe Moses' assistant, Joshua, was chosen by God. He was not chosen because he looked good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He was not chosen because he was coming from a specific tribe. See, the Bible says that Joshua, the son of Nun, I mean, he probably had mom and dad, but the Bible says, even though he was the son of someone, the Bible says that he was the son of Nun. I mean, N-U-N, but you know what I'm saying. The son of Nun. And when I read that, for me, it's like, no, he's the son of no one. Because for me, it means that God didn't chose him because his dad was a bishop, because his dad was a pastor. God chose Joshua because he was the man of the presence of God. See, when we become comfortable in church, that's the biggest problem. We grow familiar with the presence of Jesus. We do. And that's the greatest, I believe, sin that we can commit. See, when Jesus was walking on the earth, he performed signs and wonders. And the Bible says that they became amazed. They said, he has not studied in any Bible school. Where does he get his authority and his wisdom and the teachings? And then the Bible says that they looked among themselves and they said, oh, don't we know his mom? Don't we know his sister? Don't we know his brother? And the Bible says that when they knew who he was and which city he came from, they were offended at him. Mm-hmm. So familiarity kills the presence of Jesus. See, the reason in 2 Samuel chapter 6, God struck Asa dead. He did die, amen? That's not, I don't know if that's a good thing, but I'm still going to say amen. Because the fear of the Lord got to guard our hearts. Because Asa reached out, knowing that he should not touch the ark of God, he became so familiar with it because he was in his house of his dad Abinadab for 70 years, knowing that it could only be carried on the shoulders of the priest. He had no fear of the Lord or a lack of reverence, so he touched the ark of God. And God had to correct him because of a lack of fear of the Lord. Can you imagine if we walk into the presence of Jesus and we guard his presence with fear and reverence? And I'm not talking about, you know, walking around looking like a statue. That's not holiness. Amen?
Amen.
We have a bunch of statues in the church. That's not holiness at all for me. God loves authentic, real people, but that have stewarded his presence in the hearts, that are crying out day and night, God, I want to be a resting place for the sole of your feet. That's someone who is living as he does privately, as he does publicly. Are you with me? Because it's easy to be a good Christian when everybody's watching you. Amen? But how are we living a Christian life when nobody's watching us? Now turn with me to Exodus 33. I want to show you how Joshua lived in the presence of God. Bear with me. I'm just laying foundation. I will make sure that we're not going to go too long. And someone told me not to look at she's looking at me right now. I'm going to take it off. But I know pastor's looking at me. I might put it back. So turn to Exodus. Exodus 33. Are you guys having fun?
Amen.
Yes.
You're very good. Are you guys awake?
Yes.
Praise God. Exodus 33. And I want to start reading from verse 9. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that a pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked to Moses. Now look at this relationship. And the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. Verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Can you imagine God coming down? We read this as stories. Can you imagine the God, the creator of the universe, of heavens, the one who existed before the foundations of the world, coming down and have a conversation with you face to face? Now, we live in a new covenant. Hebrews says it is a better promise and a better covenant. He had a glory that was passing away, and the Bible said we have an exceeding, ever-increasing glory. If he could talk to God face to face, why are we hiding from God? Why is church so boring sometimes? Jesus Christ.
You're right. Amen.
Can we talk?
Yes.
Listen, and I don't believe this is the responsibility of the ministers. Are you with me? We cannot blame leaders all the time. We got to take responsibility. Because there's a corporate gathering that we do together. And our attitude corporately determines what God wants
Amen.
To do.
That's right.
Because none of us have the fullness of God. None of us. None of us have the fullness of God. God can only express his fullness through his body. Which means that we will never see the revival we want to see until the body of Christ grows up in maturity. Ephesians chapter 4. And so God spoke to Moses face to face. Sometimes I wonder, God, I know you spoke a lot and it's written a lot of stuff, but what did you guys talk of? 80 days on a mountain with no food and no water. I mean, God just gave 10 commandments. I do understand. That takes him probably 2 seconds. He's God. Moses just saw his behind and he got a whole revelation of the book of Genesis. That's God.
That's right.
God just passed by
That's
and
right.
Moses
That's
got
right.
the whole book.
That's right.
Can you imagine being in the presence of Jesus and talk to him like a friend? Jesus said, I do not longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. Why? Because a servant does not know what his master is doing. But servants, it's not what we are called, even though we want to be Martha's. Are you with me? We are called to be his friends. How much is God willing to speak to us? Think about this in intimacy. He spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. Listen to it. But his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Did not depart from the presence of God. That shows me the heart of Joshua. That shows me why, when God looked, he chose Joshua and not Caleb, even though Caleb was a mighty man of God. See, God chose Joshua for no other reason, I believe, is because he was a man of the presence of God. He loved God, not because what God could do for him. He loved God because of who he was. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people in the church after the gifts, but we forget about the giver. We seek his hands, but we neglect his face. We are occupied with the things that he can do for us, but we forget about the relationship that he's longing for. And this is what Joshua discovered. He discovered there was a place of intimacy. Now, if presence was important for Joshua, how is that important for us in the church today? If you ask me today, Kevin, what is the greatest gift that has been given to humanity? I will say without a shadow of a doubt, it is the person of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What is the greatest gift that God has given humanity? I would say, without a shadow of a doubt, it is the person of the Holy Spirit. You might say, what about the resurrection? Because listen, if Jesus did not rise from the grave, He had been nothing different than Buddha and Muhammad. Are you with me? So Jesus' life was significant, but what is more significant than his death was his resurrection. And you got to understand, the reason I believe that the Holy Spirit was more important than the resurrection is because Romans 8 verse 11 says that if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if that Spirit lives inside of us, he quickens our mortal bodies. That means that Jesus could not even rose from the grave if it was not because of the Holy Spirit. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
So, who is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit for Kevin is the presence of God on the earth. Everybody say, the presence,
the presence
of God on the earth.
On the earth.
That's the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is presence? Let's talk about this. Can we turn it into classroom setting a little bit?
Absolutely.
Why am I doing this with you guys? I mean, they call me machine gun preachers normally, you know. I'm a sermonator, but not with you guys. I turned into a little teacher in some ways. What is the presence of God? Oh, I feel the presence, you know. What is the presence of God? That's what the whole church is saying. Home.
Closeness.
Closeness. Closeness of what?
Two entities, two people,
so,
you and
so,
the Spirit.
So you and the Spirit. Very good. Very good. So when you find this Hebrew word for presence, it's panim, which literally means face. So when God says, seek my face, he's saying to us, seek my presence. So what is the presence of God? The presence of God is the face of God. The face of God is the person of God. And the person of God is the glory of God. And the glory of God is the intimate knowledge of who God is. Which means that if you are not living a life in the presence of God, you don't have an intimate knowledge of who God is. That's more than going to church. Are you with me?
Amen.
I want us to think about how important the presence of God is. And why the presence of God should be part of our worship, should be part of our preaching, should be part of our teaching, should be part of our fellowship. The presence of God is essence. You know, I love the very cry of Moses in Exodus chapter 33. How many of you remember when he cried out to the Lord and he said in verse 11, he said, show me your glory, which... Are you with me? He says, show me your glory. What did God say? What did God say? Come on, guys. You read the Bible. Come on, talk to me. He said, I will allow my what?
Glory.
Goodness to pass you by. Show me your glory. And God said, Moses, you ask for my glory? I'm going to allow my goodness. Let's just read it together because great harm. I just quote scriptures. Let's go to Exodus 33. I want to show you this because, and then I want to share a personal testimony, and after that we're going to pray for people, and I don't want to spend much time in speaking. Let me see. Perfect. Okay. Listen, in verse 11, Moses says, he talks about it, that he didn't depart. And then it says in verse 12, Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you. Show me your way that I may know you. Which means that we cannot know who God is unless we know the ways of God. How many of you know that his ways are different than our ways?
Amen.
We do church this way, but God says, no, my way. Mm-hmm. How many of you know that as the heavens is above the earth, Isaiah 55, as the skies, see, his thoughts and his ways is above ours. So which means that we have to have an interest in the heart of God. to know the ways of God. See, the principles of God. See, we are surrounded by a generation that only knew principles. But we don't know His ways. And the reason we don't know His ways is because we don't know His presence. So you might apply the principle of sowing and reaping. And I have one guy coming up to me. For 10 years, I've been sowing 20% of my income and I have never received a dime. And I looked at him and I said, probably that's why. Why did you give 20%? Because my pastor told me. That's awful. Seriously, that's awful. You gave 20% of your income because your pastor told you? Now listen to your pastor because it teaches you from the Word of God, but you need to understand why you do things. See, with all your gettings, get understanding. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so he's saying, show me your ways. And so we have a lot of people that are disappointed in church today and disappointed at God because they applied a principle that didn't work. And so because the principle didn't work, they said, God doesn't work, so I'm going to leave church. But they never came to the place of knowing His presence before they knew principles. See, it's good to know principles, the law of faith, the law of sowing, the law of reaping. But when you know the heart of God, you start to understand that even when you fail in sowing and reaping, He will still provide for you because you are a son. And when you understand His heart, you want to apply principle because you know Him by presence. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so Moses says, listen, I've seen some miracles, man. If there was a man that I've seen miracles, his name is Moses. We want to have signs and wonders. I'm all for it. Moses seen things that we would dream of. But he's not saying, show me more miracles. What did he say? Show me your ways. Why? Because I want to know you. That's my cry. Solomon, what do you want to have? I don't want to have the money. I want to have wisdom in how to lead your people. God says, because you ask for wisdom, I will give you all of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what are you asking today? Why do you go to church? Are you interested in His heart? Do you want to know Him? Do you desire a relationship with Jesus Christ? And so now Moses cries out, and he says in verse 18, and he said, please, God, show me your glory. And God speaks to him in verse 19 and says, then he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So he asked for glory. God said, I will allow the intimate knowledge of who I am to pass before you. So what did Moses receive? In verse 6, in chapter 34, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful. He is gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's of children to the third and to the fourth generation. Look in verse 8. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped God. When you have a true revelation of God, you will worship Him. Do you know why people cannot worship in church? Because they don't have a revelation of God. That's the true fact. We do not truly worship God in spirit and truth because we do not have a revelation of God. Listen, I was a drug addict from 14 to 22. I mean, I was so bad that you could not have a conversation with me without thinking that I'm going to fight you. 10 words, probably out of 10 will be cuss words coming out of my lips. In and out of jail, no education, angry young man. And I'm telling you that I could never change on myself. So we get people to church and we want to change them to our tools and it doesn't work. We need the presence of Jesus. Because when I encountered His presence And when Jesus became real to me, everything changed inside of me. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now I want to just read for you another chapter. And then I want to really pray. Because when you have a revelation of the presence and the person of Jesus, something really happens to your life. And I want to tell you that if you don't have an encounter, history with God, pursue Him. You need to pursue Him. Because I promise you that it's not going to happen always in a service like this. I wish it was. I wish the man of God could always lay hands on me and give me everything in an instant. But let me tell you the news. God is everlasting to everlasting. And there's nothing that's going to come in an instant. Are you with me? Moses walked in the wilderness for 40 years. Joseph for 13 years. David for 17 years. Jesus for 40 days. Paul for 3 years. Every man and woman that God used had to live a life and a season in the wilderness. So they had to learn what it means to find that place with God. Are you with me?
Amen.
That's just a fact. You have to learn to find that reservoir that my wife was talking about with God. If you don't, you're not going to last. Because church is not going to make it in these last days. It's not. I wish it was, but it's not. The only thing that will make it is the Word of God, the presence of Jesus, and the fellowship we have with one another. That's the only three things I believe is going to make it. The fellowship we have among the saints, the presence of Jesus, and the Word of God. And how many of you know that we can hear the Word all day long and we never change? Now you told me to challenge, so I'm just doing a little bit tonight. But I really want to really encourage you, find a life of encountering with God. You know, when I start to cry out to God, this was back in 2007, people told me to quiet down. They told me to stop seeking for a sign. They said, God doesn't visit people today. He did that in the Bible, Kevin. They said to me that you're filled with unbelief, just like Thomas, because you want to see. And I said to them, I said, I don't want to see God because He needs to prove Himself to me. 2 years ago, I was a drug addict. See, if God doesn't move a finger for all eternity, I will worship and serve Him for the rest of my life because I know that I was lost and now I'm found. I know that I was blind, but now I see. But the reason I'm looking to encounter my Father is because He told me that a son has access to his Father. See, the Bible says now, boldly. Now, how literal is that?
Preach.
Now, see, think about it. Like, I may be too simple for you guys, but when I read something, I actually believe it.
Amen.
If you take a step into the throne of grace, what do you expect to see there? Have you ever read Revelation chapter 4? The sea of glass, the seraphims above the throne and the cherubim beneath the throne, the tree of life. I mean, do you know where you are seated in Christ? So when you come there, what do you expect to see? You know whom I want to see? I don't care about the seraphims and the cherubims. I want to be as astonished as them when they cry out holy all day and night. I want to see my Father. That's what I want to see. And so what do I do when I wake up? Jesus, this is my cry. I want you to be real to me. More real than my wife. More real than my next breath. More real than my children. I want you to become real to me. I don't just want to have tradition and I don't just want to have religion. I want to have reality. And you know what? People trying to convince me it is not possible. And I'm a true believer that it is possible. Because all man can say no, but if you believe with all of your heart, God's word says yes. Because His promises are not if and amen. All of His promises in Jesus Christ are yes and amen. So what promise do you have about your dad? What promise do you have about the presence of God? He said, I will give you a spirit that will abide with you forever. He said to Joshua, in the same way I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. See, if two or three of us are gathered in His name and the Bible says He is in our midst, then where is Jesus? Is he here right now? Come on.
Amen.
But why do we ask? Sometimes God says to me, you know what your problem is, Kevin? I was like, what? He says, sometimes you talk about me like I'm not even in the room. I'm preaching about Christ.
That's right.
And I totally ignore him. Are you with me? If there's anything you can get from his retreat, become a lover of his presence. A lover of his presence. Could you come behind me, please? A lover of his presence. You know, it's amazing that I see a tremendous hunger and thirst on your life. And I've been kind of just praying and asking God, what is it that we want to share with you? And I believe with all of my heart that you have a deep cry. And I believe that it's a couple, but there's a deep cry. And I see there's an inheritance. There's almost an inheritance that has not been really fulfilled in generations. And I see that you are going to... See, God is the God of generations. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I see specifically for you that in the season, God is saying, do not stop being hungry for my presence. See, that's why I believe that you'll be crying out and asking God, God, I want you to become new to me. And I see that there is almost sometimes that you face frustrations, but he wants you to know that maybe he is not coming at the time that you expect him, but he will come in the time that you expect. When you do not expect him, but he will come in the hour when you need him the most. And this is the season when you really need him. And I believe with all of my heart that there is almost a shift that God is doing in your mind. Because I see that he's keep on allowing things that have been almost an obstacle in your mindset to be washed away from his word and by his presence so that you can be able to walk into the promise that it has for you. So don't be afraid, because in this season, God's going to ask you to do things that it's out of your comfort zone. It's out of your personality. You might feel that you are not equipped to do it, but God is going to call you because he is the one who's going to allow you to walk into things that he has for you. But I see breakthrough, I see visions, I see dreams, and I see understanding, and I see that God is allowing you to be able to pour into other people, especially the area of healing. The area of healing. Do you pray for people? But I saw there's something of healing, and I'm talking about laying hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And I see that God's going to give you a breakthrough in certain also infirmities, and it will give you this understanding and how to pray for the sick. So I see that the spirit of discernment is increasing in your life in Jesus' name. And I pray that the frustration, disappointments will not become a hindrance or almost a lack of, almost a cap from you from walking to the next season in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I felt for you that God has placed so much in you. And he said, do not despise your mind. I'm not saying that you're a mind person. I'm just saying that God says, do not despise your mind. Because, see, there's so much, I will say wisdom. I see wisdom and understanding that they place inside of you. And I feel that you're holding back many times when you know that there's something God has deposited inside. It's not that you're not pouring into the family, but I believe there's so much more that God has for you that people around you need to hear. And so I pray for confidence. I pray that you will walk in the fullness that God has for you in this season. Because even though things have not sometimes been as you expected to be, but God has so much more in store for you, because he wants to use you as an edge-edged sword to break through into impossibility so that you can bring clarity and answer for this confusion. So God, I thank you that you have given him a mind of wisdom and understanding. But I thank you that I see Isaiah 11 that talks about the spirit of counsel and of knowledge and of might, of fear of the Lord, of wisdom and understanding. God, I thank you that your function is upon me. God, I pray that when he has hold back, and because of even, I would say, intimidation, God, but the gift of God be tormented in his heart, I prophesy life in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that they are almost like parents. That's how I see you in the spiritual realm. Parents to people that need nourishment. And God, I thank you that you bring a lot of people around them that they can nurture within this family in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you are placed as pillars in this house. And I pray that you strengthen them, provide for them, and refresh them in Jesus' name. 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 And I kept on feeling that, you know, there's some of us that has not fully surrendered. And that's what it is. It doesn't mean that you have not gone to church. It doesn't mean that you don't love God. It just means that you have not fully surrendered. So I want to tell you something about surrender. When you surrender your life to Jesus, it's a powerful thing. Because when God called me to do what I do, you know, I have all the excuses in the world. I promise you. I'm from Iran. He called me to be a minister in the United States of America. God, you sure? You can send somebody else. So, I mean, come on. English is my third language. God, I don't speak perfect English. I had all kinds, but I had to surrender to the will of God so that I can be a useful vessel. And I felt that there's some of us that just got to surrender to His presence tonight. And I want to ask if that's you. And I'm even speaking to the young people in the back. I want to tell you, I wish I was in your age when Christ, literally, I've heard about Christ, because when you are in that age and you can really surrender to Christ, I want to tell you it's a beautiful thing. So you can sit there and you can listen and be part of the activities, but if you don't surrender, see, God cannot really use you. We become useful in the hands of the Master when we surrender our lives to the purpose and the presence of Jesus. And I want to say that if you have not surrendered, if that's you, I don't want people to close the eyes and I don't want any head to be bowed. I want everybody to look around at each other. And I want you to ask your neighbor, have you surrendered? Come on. Ask your neighbor. Ask each other, have you surrendered? Come on, you guys are so shy. Have you surrendered? Have you surrendered? Have you surrendered to His voice? Have you surrendered to His presence? Have you surrendered to His will? You know, I wanted to live in Africa. God said, go to America. I said, God, but you can sense it. I love Africa. I'm actually excited that when I preach in Africa, people are excited. You sure you want me to go to Ohio? And God said, yes. Are you with me? Maybe you feel that you want to leave a church and go to another church, and God says, no, stay in this church because I have something for you. And for you to be a useful vessel for God, you have to surrender. Maybe you don't want to be a leader, and God says, you got to be a leader. Maybe you get to give up your position so that you can raise somebody else up to stand in that seat. And for you to do that, you got to surrender. Maybe there are things in our lives that are keeping us from the perfect will of God. Secret things that only you know about. For you to be useful in the hands of God, you and I got to surrender. Maybe you don't understand Christian life and your mind is fighting you. You gotta surrender your mind. Maybe your emotions are screaming and right now you want to run away. You gotta surrender your emotions to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask this tonight. This is not a call really for salvation. I would say, if you're not saved, I promise you, you will get born again. This is a call of surrendering to the cross of Jesus. If that's you, and you want to surrender, and you want to say to God, God, I want to surrender to your presence, I want you to stand to your feet, please. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Surrender to the presence of Jesus.